This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. Whether packing for a destination vacation or planning a staycation, Macy's has everything you need. Summer's almost here, and I'm so excited to take a trip with Bryn. We are planning it right now. We are heading to Macy's before we pack to grab new shoes we can wear all day with anything. I'm excited to lay in the sun with key pieces from Macy's, like my new Dolce Vita sandals and Levi's skirt. I am ready to relax and look and feel amazing. Oh, how good that sounds. Of course, I can't forget a new beach bag. I have been eyeing the collection of beach bags from Macy's, and I can't wait for you to see what I choose. Shop at Macy's.com/ownyourstyle.
What if AI could help your business deliver mission-critical outcomes with speed? With IBM Consulting, your business can design, build, and scale trusted AI using Watson X, and modernize the way you work to accelerate real impact. Let's create AI that transforms your business. Learn more at ibm.com/consulting. IBM. Let's create.
Imagine the feeling of pulsing electric shocks. Sounds like a nightmare, right? While individual experiences may vary, it's how some people describe shingles. This painful blistering rash could interrupt your life for weeks. It could even force you to cancel social events or weekend plans. Over 99% of adults 50 years or older already carry the virus that causes shingles. 1 in 3 people will get it in their lifetime. Why wait? Ask your doctor or pharmacist about shingles today.
We run into people on vacation that we know from home, and then they expect us to be best friends on vacation. Like, you could travel to Russia and run into someone that you know from home and, like, let's get a drink. Why? We don't get drinks at home. Why would we get drinks in Russia or on vacation? It's just, like, weird that people want to socialize and get together on vacation when you don't get together with them at home. It's a vacation where you want to relax and not hang out with obligatory at-home people. So I just feel that people have to have boundaries on vacation, because I have found that if you talk to someone on vacation, they take it to the next level. They want to go out with you. Then the next day, if you blow them off, you're the bad guy and you're blowing them off. But like, you were just being on vacation and just engaging in casual fodder about beach chairs and sunblock and kids' activities. You weren't wanting to be in a committed relationship with these people. And then they want to go to dinner and just hang out, and you see everybody on the beach, and then it's awkward when you see someone on the beach. You're like looking at your partner like, don't make eye contact, because this person wanted to go out last night and we said no. And then you're like getting a restraining order on your vacation from people that you don't know and that you don't hang out with at home. It's just all upside down. A good way to lose some unnecessary friends is to travel with them. I don't travel with many people, and I'm fully aware that if I did, I would never speak to them again. There's such a small group of people. I'll tell you this, my daughter's a great person to travel with. She's not annoying. She gets ready quickly enough, not as much as I do. She's with the program. She can ebb and flow. Paul's a good person to travel with. One of my girlfriends is not a good person to travel with, and there'll always be one wretched argument that could burn the barn down, could ruin your entire friendship forever. And I have another friend that I love, and she's excellent to travel with, and we travel so well together. After 2 weeks, you still want to kill the person. So I'm just saying, traveling with people is risky business. And these couples that want to go on vacations with multiple couples, that's not for me. You then are the person that if you don't want to do the New Year's Eve plan, you're the anti-person, you think you're better than. I'm antisocial. I'm just antisocial. I don't like to be in a group thing, and I don't like to do activities that a lot of people like to do. I'm not the girl that should be in a group vacation setting. And I mean high and low. There are like all-inclusive trips that people go on, and then there are boats that people take people on 50th birthday trips and planes and yachts and all that. I'm an equal opportunity group other person's programmed tester. You could bring me on a mega Russian oligarch billionaire's yacht and I could still want to jump overboard if I have to be on somebody else's program with a certain number of people for a certain amount of time because you have to do their program. We're having breakfast at this time. We're doing lunch at this time. You leave the program. You're the ostracized one who has decided, oh, you're too good for the program. Someone else is paying for your meals. You're going to pay in another way. Trust me. If you can't stand your partner, going on vacation with another couple or a group is a great idea. Multiple kids, distraction, etc. I repeat, if you can't stand your partner, find a bunch of couples to go away with. You could hide in the sea of other families, and it's a great tactic. You could do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of group activities. That's a good thing to do if you can't stand your partner. And a lot of people do that. However, well, this could be good too. I've seen when you get too close to the other couples, I've seen the swap and the perma swap. I've seen couples just swap on out, or one worse, one member of one couple ends up with the other and the other two are left holding the bag. It's just, it happens a lot. So can I hear about your horror stories going on group vacations, couples vacations, group family vacations? I bet you there's a bunch of Ponzi schemes going too. I bet you there's one person plans the whole thing, takes the money and, you know, fucks everybody over and does it their way. I guarantee you that's another thing. That's a good scandal. My guest today is Romero Brito. He is a Brazilian-born artist known internationally for his bold, vibrant pop art. As a completely self-taught artist, his unique designs made their way to the forefront of the art scene, and his work has been showcased in over 100 countries. In 1989, he founded Brito Central, his own art company dedicated to displaying his infamous work. Working with top brands like Apple and Disney and events such as the 2010 World Cup and the Super Bowl, Brito is often considered the world's most licensed artist. He's an amazing friend of mine. He is an incredible brander, person, businessman, philanthropist. He is so happy, and I learned so much about his life through this interview. I think you are going to love learning about how he balances his business with his art. Enjoy. I know you're a national treasure of Brazil. You are a worldwide renowned artist. Your art is often, I think, more recognizable than you are and than even your name. I feel like if sometimes I'll say to someone, oh, Romero Brito, and they'll say, who? And then I'll describe something and then they'll say, oh, that's familiar. I'll show a picture and then they'll understand. So it's interesting from a brand perspective who Romero Brito, the man, is. The name, which is different, and the art, which is different. So we'll definitely get into that from a business and branding perspective. But I kind of wanted to just get an understanding of how you got started. Are you a trained artist, or were you just good at this as a child? I mean, how did you get into art, and at what age?
Well, I never went to art school. I never thought that I would become a full-time artist. I, you know, when I was a kid, I dreamed about being a diplomat. You know, I wanted to travel the world and have a job, a nice job, and change my life. But art was always there. I always liked painting, but it was more like a hobby. You know, I never thought that it would do anything to me. And then when I went to law school, because I learned that for you to go to diplomatic school in Brazil would be a good degree to have, would be a law degree. And then I was like, okay, I'll go to law school. But when I was in law school, I was so miserable that I couldn't take it, you know, another semester. And that's when the fourth semester was the last thing. And then I was like, there's no way I'm going to be doing this. And that's when I dive into the arts. You know, I was like, let me see what I can do with the arts. And that's what happened. But, there was a point that I was really concerned about, very worried that I never went to art school. But then I realized as I was going along my art, that, you know, I mean, it's good to learn, you know, art history, you know, techniques of, you know, what, you know, do with paint, sculpture, whatever you want to do. But at the end of the day, you have to be, you know, in front of a canvas and you have to figure out. And there's no school that can teach you that, you know, you can learn everything, but the confidence to be in front of like what you do. I mean, there's, you know, or you have it, you don't have it. There's no like type of a business and mix of all that together that can make somebody like yourself. So I'm, you know, there we go. Here I am.
So it sounds like you felt trapped in what you were doing. And many of us know what that feels like. You know, when it feels wrong. It's like eating something bad. You're just not where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that takes courage to change. And most people don't.
Yeah.
It sounds like what I tell my daughter. My daughter's an artist. She did a collaboration with you. It's hung in my house. It's beautiful. But she just has it. You know if you have it or not. And you decide whether to fine tune that and hone that and then polish that. So because now she has this art teacher that's a little more serious, because she's never really, she does art in school and she's known as one of the best artists or the best artist in her school.
Fantastic.
And she just has it. But I wanted her to meet with someone who was a little bit structured, just to get some of the technique and some of the things to sort of hone her craft. So I feel like you became an artist, but you still have studied later to get better or understand. I mean, not a traditional art school, but to understand different ways to communicate through art. Is that true?
Yeah, I think what does happen as you go along in your life, there's so many things that you learn. And one thing that I always tell a young artist and anybody that is getting to the arts, I say that it's really important to be super organized. You know, and I think it's so hard for, you know, a creative mind many times to be organized, because that's the only way you're going to be able to be successful. You know, I mean, there's some artists that are super disorganized, but then you're going to, but I think it's much easier and much, there's more hope when you are organized and put yourself together. So as an artist, I had to say, so important to wake up in the morning and go to a studio, a place that you can call a creative space. Could be your house, could be outside of your house, preferably outside of your house. But, you know, because when you're at home, it's kind of very hard to do your job. You've got to be extremely disciplined to be able to work at home. And that's why some people have to get out of your comfort zone and go somewhere else.
I agree. What about your family life, your parents, your childhood, as it pertains to money, education, your business, your choice to be an artist versus law school? Like, how did you grow up? Did you grow up financially secure, or?
I was super poor when I was in Brazil. My mother was a single mother.
Oh.
And she had like 12 children, only 9 survived. I'm a miracle. And from 8. So I don't know. I have to say, I have one son and I don't know how my mother did. Or she was a saint or a hero. She passed away a few years back. But, you know, to have like all these kids, it was like, oh my God, I don't know how I made it and I'm here. But, you know, I think it was one thing that I always tell people too, is to have hope. You know, have hope, imagination. I was a kid with a lot of hope, imagination in my heart and my heart. And I think that hope carried me away all the way through so many places and people that I never thought in my life that would do it. I would never thought that my art would be an inspiration to, you know, kids in Asia, kids in America and Europe, you know, my art to be taught in school. And so, I mean, it's incredible, you know, it's like, it's really incredible what happened to me and my work.
And what about love and sexuality that comes out in your work? And as a child, being able to express yourself, being able to be who you truly are.
I mean, one thing that my mother never talked about was about these two topics, love and sexuality. You know, I mean, it was like something that you don't talk about. I mean, it was like I grew up, my mother was so worried about so many other things with like 9 kids to take care of it. So she never spoke about it. So, I mean, I grew up learning about all that two topics that you talk about on my own. You know what I mean? It was just like, that was like one of the things you don't talk about. I think I talk more about it, you know, love and sexuality maybe today, you know, than I did in the past. But
is that amazing? Think about your art. I mean, it's so colorful, it's so free, it's filled with love, it's filled with sexuality. Don't you think that's interesting?
Yeah, it's amazing, because, you know, I do believe that, you know, people to be parent, maybe we need to get like some sort of a, I don't know, instruction, because there's so many things that, you know, because we are so complex, humans, we are so complex. There's so many needs that we have at different stage of your life, as a child, as a teenager, as you grow older, you know, all this keep changing, evolving. And a lot of time, you know, so many things are done and so many things are like undone, or so many things misunderstood And just because of we don't have, it's almost like if you buy an Apple phone, if you don't know how to use it, the phone doesn't work that right. You know, like you have to have
so
structure,
true.
You have to have some understanding and learning. And so you were able to navigate through this beautiful thing called life so well.
Well, that's an amazing point.
Yeah, it's a good point, right? And we can go on and on about that. So basically, I'm one of those kids that you grew up, my mother was a wonderful mother, hardworking, and, you know, she has probably, you know, she's, you know, came from also another setup, you know, which, you know, and then, you know, she repeated the setup, you know what I mean? And there we go, but she did her best.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're saying her family dynamic. They say that your unresolved issues, you pass to the next generation unless you break the chain.
Oh, unless you break the chain. Yeah. So anyway, but I was blessed to have the art that I could, you know, express myself, that I could, whatever answer, whatever question, whatever thing that was going on in my head as a kid, I could put on in my work. I was, you know, I've been able all those years, and I continue doing that, creating images of happiness, love, and, you know, some people see sexuality in my work, so great.
I think I learned a couple of things. I think number one, you reminded me that love is not enough when it comes to parenting. I think if you stay connected and communicate,
yeah,
and loving, meaning open, I think that's important. As a mother, I stay connected to my child. It's not always positive. We had a negative way of talking to each other, a dynamic between the two of us, and I have a therapist. I said, well, for 10 minutes, let's get on the phone with my person I talk to and together talk about a better way for both of us to communicate. Because if you keep repeating the same behavior, you expect different results. So I think staying connected to our kids is important. I think it's interesting that you use your passion and your work as therapy. Art is therapy. But it's undeniable that it's a successful business. So are you good at business in addition to being creative, or are you better at marketing but you hire people around you so you're not the smartest person in the room? How do you know what you know what you don't know, and how is this a real business?
Okay, so a lot of people, they when they talk and they see about my art, they say, oh my god, you're the most, you know, marketing guy, genius, you move this or that, blah blah blah. You know, one of the things I always try to do it was whatever I was working on, I tried to do my best. Do you know what I mean? And actually, I relate a lot to one comment that Walt Disney said, whatever you do, do your best. Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever you're trying to do, try to do your best. You know, because people are going to talk to about you and they want to come back and see you again.
Mm-hmm.
Something like this. So I do believe in that if you try your best, you had more chance than if you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never went to business school. I never went to art school. But every time I tried to do something, I tried to do my best. And I always try to surround myself with people that, you know, better, you know, in different ways than, you know, what I am. You know what I mean? So always trying to have great friends that, you know, they're doing something special. And I think you can learn a lot being around people that are doing something special. And be very hardworking, and hire the right people. I mean, all this combination all together, you can end up, you know, making something out of your life. And I've been very blessed that people react to what I've been creating all those years. And my language is very simple. I'm not, you know, bringing anything like nasty or something negative about the world. My work is full of hope. We all want hope. We all want happiness in our lives and love. So, and I think, you know, because of that, it's been much easier for me as an artist, because if I was talking about terrible thing about what's going on in the world out there, you know, very few people want to bring at home something negative, something that reminds them of something terrible that happened in the world. So, and I think that's one of the reasons is that people can immediately see that in my work, nothing, you know, crazy complicated.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander-owned brands at Macy's.com or in-store.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. Snag a Job is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. Love this. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs on demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Imagine a sharp, stabbing pain on your skin. Sounds like a nightmare, right? While individual experiences may vary, it's how some people describe shingles. This painful, blistering rash could interrupt your life for weeks. It could even force you to cancel social events or weekend plans. Over 99% of adults 50 years or older already carry the virus that causes shingles. 1 in 3 people will get it in their lifetime. Why wait? Ask your doctor or pharmacist about shingles today.
How big is your operation? How many people from top to bottom do you have? I mean, you have freestanding stores or no?
So the operation is pretty large. We have almost 100 people working here, between here and the gallery. But we employ, we give jobs to so many people around the globe working with Brito projects that we do, because we do tons of projects everywhere. So basically that's what it is. I mean, I have a CEO, he's a genius, and his name is Lucas, and he's a doctor, but he, you know, just decided about, you know, making business instead of being medicine. So, and that's what it is. And several other people, you know, that are part of our organization. So
what's the hardest part of running this business?
I mean, the hardest part of it, I mean, a lot of time people think that, okay, I'm going to the arts and creative environment, and they think that it's going to be a party. You know what I mean? A lot of, you know, you attract so many people that they want to work with an artist for the, not the right reasons. They just think about in the energy, because there's a great energy, you know, in the arts, you know, and the creative, you know, if you're going to go to Hollywood, people think about, oh my God, it's so great to be around
Likewise.
The stars and blah, blah,
yep.
blah. And then they don't realize that you had to wake up early in the morning.
Yes.
You had the right angle, for you had the right set, whatever you want to be beautiful, you know, and then, you know, and then goes on and on and on. And people don't realize that there's a lot of work and there's a lot of sacrifice, and that sometimes people can do to be like a huge success. I told once to an artist, a friend of mine, that sometime you had to die to be born again. So you had to forget about everything you've done in your life to make yourself a new person. You know, if you don't do that, you're not able to get to that huge success.
I understand what you're talking about, because people think they're coming to work for me and we're going, it's a play. We're going to drink margaritas all day and funny and just be funny all day. And it's a serious business and it's intense and it's professional, and you have to dress professionally and act professionally and be professional and represent my business. And I feel that people have a challenging time with that. And I can see that with you, that everyone thinks they're coming in and we're just going to be painting and he's so funny and he's so fun when it's serious. So I really do. I fully understand that. I find that that's a very challenging part of business as well. And I think that managing people is challenging for me because I need to create. So to get into days off and hours and charges and office supplies and all the nonsense, it's not what I'm supposed to be doing. And it's not really what you're supposed to be doing. You have to have other people around you so you can create. And as a business owner, I'm sure you find that you probably wish you could create 80% of the time, and you're probably creating 60% of the time because you have to run your business and make sure that the trains run on time. What do you think? What percentage are you able to be free artist Romero Brito, just the talent? And what percentage do you have to be are you the CEO?
I think you hit the right number, like 60%, you know, like that, you know, like, but for me to be able to create what I've done throughout my career, I had to push myself so hard. I sleep little hours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I one word that I never wanted to do is for opportunities. No, great opportunities. So I wanted to do as much as possible because time is so limited and you cannot create more time. And, but, you know, it's so true. Managing people, having the more people you have, the bigger the business, the more challenging it becomes, you know. And, but it's so important to find the right people and the one that the right one for you to give some time to them, because also not everybody come with the, you know, ready to go, you know, right. So for them to understand, a smart person, we're going to go next to Bethany and they're going to say, I know that Bethany like this way and I'm going to do that way. I'm going to make sure that she's happy. And there you go. But people, you got to get the right person that communicate, understand that, observe and ask question. And they're always there for you. You know, always there for you. And if they're always there for you, opportunity would be good for them too.
So to be a business person means you have to be the bad guy, you know, and people want you to be happy, heart, art guy. And also that it really is you. So it's hard for you to only be the artist. You have to be managing the shop. But are you stressed out? Do you get very stressed or are you super mellow and chill?
Well, I had to say, I mean, the good thing is that, you know, there was a point that I was me and me and me and me, all the whole thing, right? But I hire other people. I had managers. I had people in the departments. I, you know, the studio, the palace, you know, the studio's inside this building here. And there's departments. So I don't deal like I do. I used to in the past, you know. So now, you know, for the past years, you know, as I always knew that you have to have a structure. Because you cannot just, you know, I remember so well many, many years ago, 30 some years ago, you know, I had one of my staff. I was like, we need to have a manual for an employee manual. Mm-hmm. And they say, you're an artist. Why you need an employee manual?
Oh,
I was
my
like,
God.
It's so important to have an employee manual. So, you know, I mean, I think it's important to have layers. It's important to have managers. And that way, you know, head front with people and you just speak with few people and then you go. And then all the decisions are taken by, you know, your team that you trust, you know.
Yes.
And that's very important to have a structure of a business, because if you don't, it become a little bit like chaotic. And I don't like I like organization. So.
Well, are you allowed to say what percentage of your business you own? Have you given away? Have you regretted that? You know, strategic partners?
Oh, no. I own 100% of my business.
Interesting.
I don't have no partners. No. I don't have no partners, but you know, I mean, listen, I mean, unless in the future, who knows? I mean, you know, I never know about the future, because I definitely have this idea about my work. There's so many things that keep it going. You know, when I die one day, you know, we're all gonna die. And then I definitely want my art to live on. And there'll be so many things that can be done, you know, without the artists, you know, when the artist's not around, so.
Well, and you've thought about it? I'm sure you've been approached. You've toyed with it or never thought about having a partner?
I never thought about, you know, about that. You know, I mean, like, for some reason, I mean, I always do my art. It's been a very good setup for me that I don't want, you know, just, yeah, so.
You don't want those shackles. It's your baby.
Yeah, I mean, right now, I don't see that. You know, we never know about the future. because, you know, I think, you know, many times it's good to have people that has the skin of the game, you know, like, you know, we never know. I mean, somebody, you know, I don't know. I mean, something that didn't occur to me, but maybe in the future, yes. Maybe in the future, maybe.
Well, it's interesting because there aren't that many. There's always has to be, there aren't that many artists. I think of Keith Haring off the top of my head that are, have been commercial and yet also respected. I mean, does that make any sense? Like some, you have, you're yeah. definitely commercial. You know, I've seen your work in LAX and you see it on luggage and you've created a licensing business, but I have pieces of yours. That heart piece that you, that's still in my city apartment is one of my favorite pieces and I'm proud to have it on my wall. So you've definitely managed to maintain credibility while still being commercial. And that had to be risky and a bridge that you had to decide how to cross because you don't want to lose your base and have people not think you are a credible artist, but you want to expand and build a brand worldwide. So I just think that that's, you know, how to grow and how to expand. It can make or break a business.
Yeah. You have to be extremely careful how you do it. And I've been like very careful about, you know, teaming up, you know, as in a personal level, as my friends, I have incredible friends. Also in business, I always try to do business with companies that would add to my career, you know, amazing company that I work, you know, from the first one from Absolut Vodka to, you know, Pepsi Cola, Coca-Cola, you know, Evian. I mean, the brands, like now I'm working with Bentley, you know, team up with Bentley. And we just launched the new Bentley during Art Basel, which is beautiful. And the Rolls Royce, I mean, so many other brands, the launch of Mini Cooper. And I mean, the list goes on and all the best brands. So, and I think when you put all this together, you know, you can't go wrong with combinations. And so
it's been about good partnerships, good collaborations. What have been the biggest mistakes you've made? What have been real errors in judgment and business?
Well, I mean, there was a big project that I did many years ago in London, which was the largest art installation in Hyde Park, which was very difficult for me at that time, but it turned out to be one of the most beautiful projects that I've ever done. Also, it was a kind of mistake financially because it was very expensive, this collaboration that I did with this organization. But in the long run, you know, I think something that stayed was that beautiful project, you know, that I did in Hyde Park and in England. It was fantastic.
But were you doing it? So it obviously cost you money, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But you did it because the reason I say this is I did The Housewives first season for $7,250. I've done other things. Everyone thought that I did my cocktails deal just for the money, but I did it also for the street cred, you know, to be a legitimate business person who had turned a brand in a year or 18 months. So did you do it because it didn't matter how much it cost you? You were investing in the street cred. You had an installation in Hyde Park. Like that means a lot more than the actual dollars and cents.
Yeah. I mean, every time that I create a piece of art, every time I put my name into something, I never think about the money first. And that's one thing that I try to tell people over and over again. Do a great job and the money will follow.
Everybody that I've spoken to on this podcast who's very successful, from Wolfgang Puck to Sheryl Sandberg, has said the same thing. And I really do believe everyone has said that they do not do it because of the money, ever. I mean, you have to have made some financial decisions, though, because you do run a business. I mean, there has to be an ROI and good business and bad business.
At the end of the day, when good intention comes in, and then people say, oh my God, you're so lucky, you know, but you've done so many times things that you really push by what you love, what you really wanted to do in your life. And it's become so well done that people end up wanting to team up with you more and more. And I mean, let's say with you, I mean, all the moves that you've done, I know that I'm not making the interview on you, but that's why you go to a supermarket and you'll get, you know, your popcorn, you know, there. How many girls would like to have a popcorn on the supermarket? You go there, walk around, oh, let me eat there, like watch TV. And tons of people, millions of people is enjoying what you do. But because, you know, you've done so many times. So there is effortless when the opportunity, the right one comes, you did so many times that you're just like, that I can do as I do my nails.
Oh, what you're saying is that it's case law. It's based on the fact that I want to have a popcorn because I think that that's what girls will love, and salad dressing and preserves, and I'm doing it out of passion and not for the money. But because it's case law, I've seen how many deals I've done and the way that it works and the way to execute it, that that becomes... Each time you learn a little bit more, but that you can sort of just check the box and you know how to do. You have behind you some luggage. You have a piece of art. You just discussed a car. It really doesn't matter what the, no pun intended, vehicle is. It just matters if you have a good partner, if you're passionate about it, and you understand how to do it because you've done so many.
Yeah, and then one thing is the follow. Because you do so many time and you just have this protocol of how you do your business. You know, that like, Prince, I'm going to give an example to you. Somebody that, you know, you give a tip for in a restaurant. You give a tip in a restaurant and the person, the waiter did a fantastic job. And then the waiter, thank you. And you feel like, oh my God, I mean, you did a great job. I give you a great tip. But, you know, in the end of the day, you know, it's a reaction of an action. So the more positive action that people do, you know, If you do 10 positive action in the day and you get 8, it's a great
right
number. Or if you get 4, you know, but if you don't do no positive action, there'll be no reaction. And those reactions multiply and you keep in mind more and more action coming back to you because people say, wow, it's so great. You know, I ate the popcorn of Beth and it was delicious. I'm going to eat more. All my friends love it, blah, blah, blah. And she's so nice. I'm going to buy more. But, and then, oh, and she came out with something else. Or Romero came out with something else. Or it could be anything else. That people say, oh my,
yes.
It just keep it going. But if you don't do that, if somebody does something nice to you and you don't thank the person back, the person may think, oh my God, maybe I didn't do anything, you know, was valuable, you know, and then just, and people are like, why nothing's happening with me? But you need to make things happen too. Had to start with you too.
Hey there. Did you know that May is Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month? Macy's is celebrating by highlighting some cool AAPI-owned brands like Cardon, Kaja, Amelia George, and Hey Maeve. I mean, I love that a big brand like Macy's is supporting Asian American and Pacific Islander Heritage Month. It's important. But you know what? The best reason to check out these brands is that they're just really awesome. Seriously, you need to check them out. And you know what else? You have a great opportunity to open up access to college for AAPI students and help them succeed by donating to APIA Scholars. APIA is the nation's leading nonprofit organization devoted to the academic, personal, and professional success of Asian American, Native Hawaiian, and Pacific Islander students. You can donate online or just round up your purchase at Macy's when you check out. So do what you can to help. Join Macy's and round up your purchase to the nearest dollar at checkout to support APIA Scholars. Shop Asian American and Pacific Islander owned brands at Macy's.com or in store.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league, starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu. Snag a Job is where America goes to hire with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. Love this. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs on demand, temp to hire, part-time, or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With their easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. Visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
The virus that causes shingles is sleeping in 99% of people over 50. It's lying dormant, waiting, and it could reactivate at any time. And while not everyone at risk will develop shingles, it strikes as a painful, blistering rash that can last for weeks. Think you're not at risk for shingles? It's time to wake up. because shingles could wake up in you. If you're over 50, talk to your doctor or pharmacist about shingles prevention.
It's a lot of me and it's a lot of you. Your business is about you and your art and your creation. And what does Romero want? And is it going to be to his standard? And this is a Romero deal. So how does that affect your personal life? It is so much about you. Does that make you self-conscious in relationships? Because it's just, you're the peacock, to say the least, in your relationship. How does this work in personal relationships?
Well, I try my best not to be all about me. You know what I mean? But even though that is kind of it, but, you know, I try, you know, I didn't have a lot of relationships in my life. So I, you know, I got married. I was for a year, got married, and now I'm single, but, you know, but I try my best to not, you know, when I go out, I usually like to go out with friends because then the conversation is not only about me. Do you know what I mean? So my friends bring all the conversation and blah, blah, blah. I always like to be in bigger group, but it's not only just me talking about me. So it's nice to listen to other people talking and hear their stories and they share with other friends. And, you know, so I don't have to do all the conversation too.
Makes sense. What has been the rose and the thorn of your career, the high and the low of your business?
The high and the low. Well, I mean, the highest point. Oh, now, I mean, go to incredible places, like, you know, go to dinners in places that I never thought about. That would be, you know, like go to have dinner at Buckingham Palace, you know, and be part of Prince Charles, you know, the Princess and Princess Trust, you know,
wow.
Being part of that incredible organization that I never thought about because I always love England. I always love the royal family and had a huge respect for them. So, you know, that was incredible, you know, to do that, you know.
Wow.
And be able to be part of something, and in particular, be invited by the prince to be part of his foundation, you know, and be able to raise funds to youth, you know, that are in need. But the lowest was when I was a kid, most, you know, it was just like, it was really bad and terrible. That's one thing that I always preach that's so important, that one day we will have family education in school so people understand that bringing human beings to the world is a huge responsibility.
I get it. I understand that very, very much.
Yeah, you're a parent, you know. But some people, you know, a good parent understand that, and not some being, I mean, you know, human beings, a huge responsibility to put to the world.
Oh no, I'm speaking of the way I was parented, which is, you know, it's funny you say that. You can be a parent, but that doesn't mean you're parenting as a verb. Meaning, even if you're not abusive or you're not, you know, terrible, you can have children and just sort of like let them run the show and the path of least resistance and the television is the babysitter and the junk food.
Yeah.
And this has nothing to, spoiled doesn't have anything to do with being wealthy or not. It could be just, you could have a poor parent spoiling a kid or not being present because they're just not that involved. What you put into it, like a business, you get out. And I feel that parents, you can be a parent, but you're not actually parenting. To parent,
yeah,
is a very diligent job, way more important than your business, obviously. But you have to put so much work into it. You have to think about it. What that, you know, you're creating another person. You're investing in another person. You're emotionally molding and shaping another person. You're influencing another person. What you do, monkey see, monkey do. What you do and say,
yeah,
they will mimic either the same or do the opposite. I mean, you know, it's just what, they're sponges. So I take parenting very seriously. And just like with business, if things are going wrong, like you're just not feeling that it's working, it's not because the kid, oh my kid, he's so spoiled, or they're so, you know, they're challenging, or it's because usually it could be, a lot of it could be, you know, nature versus nurture. But I believe that it's a lot because of how you're parenting your kid. So if it's not going that great, you, yeah, have to intervene and get involved and shake it up the way you do your business. These are images and influences that we see everywhere. And who people surround themselves with.
Yeah, one person can, you know, one person, if you have one child, can change the life of all the people. You know, like one person can change the life of millions, like Angela Merkel. You know, when she became Chancellor of Germany, imagine all those years that she was there, what she did for the country. And so many incredible people who made a positive impact to society, to their communities, to their families, and, you know, and all the ones who did a horrible impact to the world. So, but I think I'll go back to one thing, is family. And, you know, I, as an artist, I try to bring happiness and hope through my art that, you know, people see something that, that they can share with their children, their husband, their wives, you know, colleagues, friends, and lover, you know. And because hope and happiness is so important for us to celebrate our life, this is a great opportunity to be alive.
Well, yeah. I mean, and this is a question I think is interesting for you in particular. I can't imagine how you're going to answer this. What percentage are you lucky and what percentage are you smart as it pertains, yeah, as it pertains to your business? Honestly, like not what you're supposed to say. Like, honestly, what percentage are you lucky and what percentage are you smart as a business person?
I have to say to you, I've been very blessed for so many things happened to me. But I must say something to you. I'm going to go back to one thing. Is that the more open you are, if you understand or if you had this feeling of sharing, because if I did not want to share my work, if I was kind of, or if I didn't put myself out there, if I didn't work really hard, if I didn't practice every day, you have to practice every day. And, the, you know, it's almost cliche to say the luck comes, you know, when it's like there's a lot of work. You know, and, you know, a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice, and a lot of practice, and the opportunity to come, and you're ready to go.
That's fascinating, because many successful people say, the boat is ready, we are all set up, so if those fish are there, we're going to get them all. So you're saying,
yeah,
you tee yourself up, but that's also, the first part you said about being open, that's emotionally intelligent. So I'm going to change this question in the future to being, to smart being emotionally intelligent as well, as just, a, yeah, you know, business smart, but that means... Yeah, so you're saying that it's effectively 50-50.
Yeah, and you can't teach that in school, because you know that someone that's willing, their willingness to help, their willingness to be there, I want to hear you, I want to do something for you. And then the person said, you know what, I want to give that opportunity for you because you're there for me. I call you, you listen to me, I call you there for me. So, I mean, if you're going to have 10 people working for you, and the one that you can call midnight, you know, because the person, don't worry about it, just call me. Saturday, oh, I'll do that for you. Or Sunday, oh, no, I'll be there for you. Never make it difficult. And that, and you're going to say, you know what, in a difficult time, or if you're in an amazing time, who are you going to think about? That person. And that person is going to get the job. And then you're going to say, somebody say, well, why are you so lucky? Well, you don't know. I wake up so many times in the morning. But you do because you really wanted to. You're there for it. And then you just... Everything is just working for you because you're like going that journey and you're attracting all this beautiful thing because you're willing and you're open to it. And you wanted to do an amazing job. And you have that no matter what, if I'm doing this for A or for Z, it's going to be beautiful. And I want to do my best. And then you go. And then you practice this every day over and over and over again. And if you don't have somebody that see your qualities, your abilities of doing that job in that side of the road, in the other side, somebody's going to appreciate you. But you have it. It doesn't matter. You can do for anybody and anyone.
It's so true. Well, it's your work shows your love and your passion, and it's coming back to you. So it's so amazing to talk to you and see, it's very different. We know each other. We spend time together, and I don't want to say it's superficial because it's real, yeah, but this is just a different kind of conversation. You know, you get to really dig a little deeper, and I so many places that people get interviewed, it's really surface and superficial. So I just wanted to sort of get a sense of you, and I definitely have. So
I'm very grateful to have you as a friend. And we always get great memories together. Anyway, we always have good time together with your kids,
so
and
fun.
Everything, your daughter.
She loves you. And that piece of art is amazing. So that's so good. All right. Well, Romero, I love you. It's great talking to you. And we'll get more soon.
I love you too, Bethany. See you. Ciao.
So that's Romero. I don't even remember how I met him. I think I met him through an ex at the Super Bowl when he was doing the Romero Brito installation or collab with the Super Bowl. He's a great person, a great marketer, a great business person, a great artist. He's nice. He always comes from a place of yes. And I know him, but I never really get to know anybody in this deep of a way from a business standpoint and an emotional standpoint as it pertains to life and success and the journey until I get them on here. So I just love this show so much for so many reasons, but it makes me, I don't mean work in a difficult way. I mean, I've got, you know, it's not that easy to sit here and talk to someone and figure out who they are and how their childhood affected them, and really dig deep without digging deep. And sometimes I sit and I wonder where the conversation is going, and lo and behold, it always ends up going someplace that I never knew it would go. I always end up learning something. And Romero was really, really interesting. And I just like his story and his sentiment, and that he really recognizes that people think they come to work for him and it's going to be a party, but it's actually a business. So thank you, Romero Brito. That was really interesting.
So Puerto Rico is a beautiful place. It's a lush island. It's great for surfing. It's got a culture. Like, you feel like you've really gone somewhere far, and you don't need a passport, which honestly, I do really enjoy. It's a beautiful island. The people are amazing. The food is amazing. The water, the beaches, the vibe. It's a great place. It really is. In Puerto Rico, you'll taste the influence of Spanish, African, and Native Taino traditions, sometimes all in the same dish. Puerto Rican chefs and restaurants put their passion into every bite. Puerto Rico is an excellent destination for food, which may not be a well-known fact. Whether it's a five-star restaurant or local favorite spot, no one does food like Puerto Rico. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.